It's a schus and an honor to be here today. One of the highlights of my week, as I say every week, is to be with you and to learn Divrei Torah. And as we all know, the parshas in Eretz Yisrael in America are still different. We're still going strong. And in Eretz Yisrael, it's parshas Korach. And in America, it's parshas Shlach. And all these parshas are so jam-packed. There's so much to do. But we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions. And then we're going to try to come out with that foundation that you sowed that we could bring into our lives in a very practical way. Last week, we spoke about Lashon Hara. And we spoke about the connection with Miriam, speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu. And we spoke about the Meraglim, the start of Shlach. And we pointed out a major idea, an idea that we all have to, myself obviously, and we all have to build ourselves in this idea that when we do speak Chas V'Shalom, we don't. But if we do speak Lashon Hara, it's because we're denying in a way. Again, it's easier said than done. Sometimes we have some juicy gossip. We just want to hawk. I hear, listen. But at the same time, we have to realize that we are taking away the Tzelem Elokim. The Ribbono Shel Olam has put into all of us this Tzelem Elokim, this closeness with the Ribbono Shel Olam, the neshama, the soul, the guf. As my uncle Gedalia Bamzer, he wrote me an email and he said, the Tzelem Elokim helps us so much. It gives us this spark how to deal with the difficulties of life. When someone comes at you in a hard way, you realize that even though it's difficult, and we're not taking away that it's difficult, and this person has no right to say anything to you or speak badly about you. But again, Lashon Hara, the idea is that we're realizing that there's Tzelem Elokim in everyone, and we're not going to speak bad. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim, the great Chofetz Chaim, we gave a little history. My mother told me she liked the history. We got to do more history. It's very fascinating to know the history of different people when they lived. And the Chofetz Chaim says that the reason why so many people say this, that the Meraglim messed up, is because of they didn't believe in themselves. They didn't believe in their Tzelem Elokim. They didn't believe that they could conquer and they could accomplish so much. So we're gonna speak more about the Meraglim and get to Korach, because there's so much to do. Whenever I say that, this year goes really long and everyone's like, uh-oh. Everyone, listen, I'm recording, just turn it off. I won't know about it, whatever. Hashem does. But it's okay. It's Torah. You'll learn to listen to another shir. I know. A little more enjoyable shir. It's okay. But we're going to ask a couple questions. And then we're going to try to come out with a yisod. So, Rav Menachem Zemba, he was one of the greats. He lived in 1883 to 1943. He was killed in the Holocaust. He was killed in Warsaw. He was one of the Gedolim. And he wrote a lot of Svarim. He wrote a famous sefer called Zera Avram, about a sefer on Shabbos. And he points a beautiful idea. He says that the Meraglim messed up and they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. And he quotes down a medrash that says that the Bikurim, the first fruits, is tshuva for the Meraglim. The Bikurim, the first fruits, is tshuva for the Meraglim. So on a pashut pshat, on a simple level, you'll say, they spoke about the fruits and they spoke about the bad, that the fruits were bad. So therefore, Bikurim, as we've spoken so much, we spoke about it in Kisavo, and we spoke about it in different parshas, different midrashim, that Bikurim represent the idea of Hakaras HaTov, that Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives us everything, literally everything. However, he makes a very interesting observation, and we're going to build on this observation. He says that when the Meraglim came back, we know that the Meraglim came back and they spoke Lashon Hara about the land. And they spoke Lashon Hara about the land, and in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, it says, Vayavo Anachal Eshkol, they arrived at the valley of Eshkol, Vayakrisu Misham Zimura, Veshkol Anovim Echad, Vayasil Bamok Eshnayim Min Harimonim Umina Te'enim. That the Pasuk says that they took one cluster of grapes, they carried it on a pole by two people, and then one of rimonim, of pomegranates, and one of te'anim, one of figs. And we know that the Bikurim were brought for the Shiva Minim. However, the Pasuk clearly tells me that They spoke about three specific things. They spoke about the Ta'anim, the figs. They spoke about the Rimonim, the pomegranates, and they spoke about the Anovim, the grapes. Now, it's very fascinating. It says Rabbi Menachem Zemba, you have to be a Bucky Peshas to realize this. He says that if you look in the Mishnah Bikurim, the Mishnah in the third Perek, it's talking about, you know, you find the first fruits and you put a little red bendel on it and you say, these are Bikurim. And you know what the Mishnah says? Amazing. The Mishnah says that what fruits are we talking about? It says Te'ena, Eshkol, a fig, and Eshkol is a cluster of grapes, and Rimon, and the pomegranate. Says Rabbi Menachem Zemba, we see clearly in the Mishnayos and Bikurim that there's a resemblance between the two. And the question is, but there are Sheva Minim. There are other things. Right? Chitos, Orah. There's other things. Why specifically were the Meraglim talking about these things? And what is the connection with the Bikurim? Question one. Question two. We know that the Torah at the end of Parsha Shlach. Again, most of the listeners are in Parsha Shlach. So again, every time we do different things, sometimes more in that Parsha and more in that. But it's to build out the Yesoides. The Yesoides, the foundations. So we know that at the end of the Parsha of Shlach, we speak about the Megadeth, someone that blasphemes, someone that cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we speak about the Mekoshesh. The gathering, he's in the Midbar, we're in the Midbar, and the Mekoshesh is gathering. And the Midrashim were trying to figure out, like, you're in the Midbar, you're in the desert. What in the world are you gathering? So one shot is that maybe he was carrying in Dalad Amos, Bereshus Sarabim, which we know the Gemara in Shabbos, that's Sadivov. You're not going to look, but it's Sadivov in Shabbos. Now you are going to look, now I'm wrong, shoot. But that says that they were over, maybe he was over Hotsah. Maybe he carried in Bereshus Sarabim. And that's why the Pasuk clearly says, El HaMidbar. Why do you have to focus that he was in the Midbar? Of course he was in the Midbar. No, because the Midbar was a big public domain. Fascinating. However, the Medrash says something fascinating. The Medrash says that, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did an ace, and he put certain trees, because again, the Midbar is a desert, he put trees into the desert, and the Mekoshesh, the one that was gathering on Shabbos, violating Shabbos, was gathering different wood and different stones. In different sticks. Says the Medrash, or Peladika Medrash, that he was gathering the sticks of the Eitz Hadas, Tov V'Ra, and the Eitz HaChayim. Right? We all know back in Bereishis, we spoke about it. Eitz Hadas, Tov V'Ra, even if we didn't, I wanted to, but no one's gonna, I don't know if anyone remembers. I always say that the only thing you remember is stories, not the Toyota. Yeah, we gotta remember the Toyota also. We gotta base everything on the Toyota. The Toyota keeps the world. Shem looked into the Torah and created the world. So, again, stories are nice. They bring out ideas, but we need the Torah. Chazan, the Torah. So, if I didn't speak about this, now you go back to Bereishis. Everyone that clicked off their emails or X'd it off, whatever. But, again, Hashem will see you, not me. That the Medrash says, again, Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra and Eitz HaChayim. That he was separating the two. He was doing Boyer. He was separating the two trees. First of all, what in the world does this Medrash mean? And second of all, to be, is that which tree is better? Is it that when Adam and Chava were faced and they had to decide either to eat the Eitz Hadas, Tov V'Ra, or they had the Eitz HaChayim, and obviously they succumbed to their temptations and they messed up. So which tree is better? Would you think that if they didn't give in to the Eitz Hadas, maybe we wouldn't be here nowadays? Which tree is better? Okay. Question three. Again, a lot of questions. Sometimes we spend a little too much time on the questions, but the questions are important just to build out the yisod. We know at the end of Shlach, we speak about tzitzis, and right in the beginning of Parshas Korach, we got to have something about Korach. There's so much Torah on Korach. Oh, yeah, yeah. Could be here for like 4 hours. We're not going to be. Don't worry. I don't say chas shalom, but don't worry. But we know that Korach was a Lebedik man. He was a leader. He started a lot of trouble. He was the troublemaker, the smart troublemaking guy. So we know in the beginning of Parshas Korach, again, there's a lot of pshat in what was he doing, what was he trying to accomplish. But the Torah tells us in Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi, the Dosim Aviram, right? We know Korach is starting Machlokes again. Another saga in the Bamidbar experience. Korach is coming and saying, Moshe, who are you? Aaron, who are you? And we know that the Medrash is brought down from Tanhuma Beis, in Bamidbar. The famous Medrash, which we all learned as kids, and if we didn't, it's okay, we'll learn it now. And we know that Korach came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he had a very interesting question. He had a couple questions, the Medrash says, but the two famous ones were, he said, I have a question for you, Moshe. We know, as we spoke about last week a little, that this has techeles. Machloekes and techeles is ma'akiv. You don't have the techeles nowadays. Some people wear them, some people don't. Whatever, it's a whole separate discussion. We won't get into hak. But if I have a whole beged full of techeles, does it need tzitzis? That was a question. And Moshe said, right, of course. And the people around him, he had 250 leaders, not just stam people, he had 250 leaders with him. And he said, really? Efshar, right? Rashi brings down this medrash in Pasuk Aleph. Efshar, talis shel min acher, that you have a talis of a different type. Chut echot shel techeles petura. So now this is entirely of techeles. Lo tiftar et atzmo, I don't get it. Why in the world would you need an extra string of techeles? Should it not exempt itself? What in the world is this question? This seems like a deep question. It's not just like, again, he asked another question that you have a lot of Sifrei Torah in the room, and now do you have to put a mezuzah on the door? Quick idea that even though you're full of Torah, you got to sometimes show everyone that you're a ben Torah. Separate shmuz. But what was Korach trying to figure out over here? What was he saying? That a beged full of treles, it should be exempt from that one little string. If it's full of blue, again, treles was to remind us of the yam, of the sea, get to the rakiyah, the gemara minachis, the midrashim, realize Hashem's kisei hakovid, the greatness of the ribbono shel olam. So why would you need a small little string? So again, three questions. Question one was from Menachem Zemba's question, is that we see a correlation between bikurim and the Chet HaMeraglim, we specifically see it in the actual fruits of what the Meraglim and the Bikurim. Is there a big idea here? What was going on with the Mekoshesh that he was either taking the Eitz Hadas, Tov HaRoah, the Eitz HaChayim? What's that all about? And what was Korach, what was he trying to say? Again, a lot of pshatim of what Korach was doing, a lot of Midrashim. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. But what, maybe we got a Shiro the whole, I mean, obviously Shabbos will have to stop, but okay, we're not going to do that. Stop with my weird jokes. But what was Korach thinking when he brought this question to Moshe Rabbeinu? So we're going to build a yisoid, a very nice yisoid. And I heard it in different places. I recently actually heard it from Rav Arye Leibowitz. I listened to him. He's on Wadi Torah. He has thousands and thousands of shiurim. Tremendous Talmud Chacham. Puts things together really nicely, beautifully. And he says a very, very beautiful idea, and we're going to take a different spin, a little different spin on it also, but he says that we have relationships, and we talk about relationships a lot, and we talk about always getting out of yourself, and boundaries, again, these things that we have to constantly, you give a shir. He said last week that the Chofetz Chaim's whole idea was every parsha bring out Lashon Hara, and the Kli Yakar, every idea was about Shidduchim, all these ideas, you could bring it out every single parsha. And we got to bang it out. We'll talk about this in a second. But there's relationships. We have relationships with others, our relationships to ourselves, relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and relationships to our great land, Eretz Yisrael. And when you're building a relationship, and we're all in a lot of relationships, some relationships we don't want to be in, but we're all in amazing relationships, God willing. And we all have amazing friends. And we all have parents. And we have either spouses, brothers and sisters. So we have a lot of relationships. Some people have dogs. I don't know if that's a real relationship. Whatever, we won't talk about that. Do animals have bechira? They don't really. Okay. And we obviously have the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's three aspects of a relationship. The first aspect of a relationship is that there's this loyalty. I know that I have a relationship with someone because I have their loyalty. I know that I can always turn to them. And again, sometimes we don't always have so many people we could turn to. You know, how many real close friends do we have? Maybe I'm just, you know, Maybe everyone else has a lot more than I do. But how many real close friends do you have that you could turn to in a time of need, in a time of crisis? Most people have their parents that are there for them. You know, the giving of parents, always there, raising them. Obviously, trying the whole goal, as we spoke about in Baloscha, is to get your kids on, get them to go by themselves. The Eish Me'alea, the flame go out by itself. That will just take and just go. And that's the job of every parent. Baruch Hashem, my parents, such special people, such giving people. I know they listen to the shiur, but they're really amazing people, Baruch Hashem. So now there's a level of loyalty. And there's also the loyalty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That sometimes, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a physical being, but as we've spoken about, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And although we don't see him, we could talk to him. The things that happens to us is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's there for us. He loves us. He can't reveal himself. He tried to. We're in a different world than the Ribbono Shel Olam. But he's in our lives in a practical way. He loves us. And we talk to him. And we have that loyalty to him. And he has that loyalty to us. That even if we mess up, the unconditional love. Obviously, he doesn't want us to mess up. He doesn't want us to make us feel bad. He doesn't want the distance. But there's this unconditional love. As Rav Moshe Weinberger, the Rav of Ish Kodesh, Mamish, the Mashpia, helping all of Klal Yisrael, as he says very clearly, there's a debate going back with him and other Rabbonim, this, even when a person messes up, Chas V'Shalom, and does Averas, still Hashem loves us, and he does, he loves us. So there's this element of loyalty. There's another aspect, the aspect of doing things. It's not just enough to feel the loyalty. You have a responsibility to act. It's not enough just to think about something. Again, thoughts are important. And sometimes, you know, we never know. The Gemara says that you'll never know what someone else is thinking. Sometimes we don't even know what we're thinking. That's why we have, that's why the therapy is so, everyone has therapists. It's not a, you know, Baruch Hashem, it's not a bad thing. People are helping people. You know, we're in a generation that's speaking things out. Sometimes we don't even know what we're thinking, but you definitely don't know what someone else is thinking. Sometimes they even say things, they don't even mean what they're saying. But thinking's not enough. It's the actions, it's the doing. And the third element is the mindfulness. That even though you could be at work from 8 to 6 and working a full day, but still you have on your mind your family, you have on your mind your wife, you have on your mind your children. You have on your mind your parents and your siblings. You have on your mind so many different things. And although you might not actively be with them, you're not with them 24/7, or maybe you live in a different country, or maybe you don't see them so much for whatever the reasons are. But there's this mindfulness that you're always thinking about them. Now, we're going to take these three ideas, and Rav Ari Leibowitz, beautiful, what he does is he takes these three ideas and he puts it into these three things, these three fruits. And I want to expand on it a little. Element number one, again, this idea of being loyal. We know that the Medrash of Mishlei says that Yehoshua, the great Yehoshua, took over after Moshe Rabbeinu, brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Yehoshua is compared to a te'ena. As the pasuk tells us by Yehoshua, lo yamish mitoicha ayo. He might not have been, he was, you know, the Talmud Muvak of Moshe, because he said, I'm going to get everything, I'm going to work so hard to become the Talmud Muvak. He might not have been the smartest guy, but he said, I'm going to work so hard. And the Medrash says that Yehoshua and Te'ena is going little by little by little. That it's an idea of consistency. Consistency. One of the hardest things in life, maybe one of the most important things in life, is obviously the relationship with Hashem and speaking to Him. And relationship with our spouse and our family and our children and our parents. But it's about consistency. Consistency in our actions. Loyalty to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We know that tzitzis, it's written in the Parsha of tzitzis, three times tzitzis. That's why some people have a minhag of kissing it three times when they say tzitzis in Kriyat Shema. And there's three elements of tzitzis. There's lo sasuru. You shouldn't look. You shouldn't divert your heart to other things. As we know that the Be'er Halacha, the great Mishnah Berurah, spoke about last week. He wrote in the Be'er Halacha, he wrote so many things. Someone that really maximizes time. You know, when you see these great people, you're like, how do they do this? They just went. With Siyata D'Shemaya, they just went and they saved Klal Yisrael. And he writes that, he brings down the Be'er Halacha from the Sefer HaChinuch, that there are six mitzvahs tamidis that you can always be thinking about. And one of them is lo sasuru, to not divert yourself from the Hashem. Don't look other places. Keep your eyes straight. Don't look at bad things. And then there's another element, laman tiskru, that you should always remember. And then it says, sitzis vasisem es kol mitzvosai, and we want to actually do the mitzvahs. So the first topic we're talking about, consistency. When a person is consistent, he's showing his loyalty. He's saying, I'm not going to have a hesek hadas. I'm not going to forget about Hashem, lo sasuru. We don't want to divert ourselves. And it's hard. Being consistent is hard. Some of us are just consistent the wrong way. And breaking our habits is hard. But little by little by little, that's what a te'ino represents. Little by little, it grows. There are certain fruits that grow and then they die. They're there for a couple months and they die. Te'ino is little by little by little. The idea of consistency. There was a guy in my shiur, he really wanted it, but he kind of wanted it. He spoke about wanting it, but he didn't really want it. He couldn't wake up. I tried working out deals with him. You have to go to sleep by 1:15, and he couldn't do it. So again, I have to be careful what I say. I was actually once giving a shiur, and I mentioned one little thing. A guy came over, he's like, I know what you're talking about. I'm like, oh, God. And he was right. Obviously, I said he wasn't, but he was right. So I have to be careful, but not all my Tommy them are thinking that I'm talking about them, I hope not. Especially the guys know it was 1:15. Everyone's like, 1:15, I wish. But that's what I'm trying to say here. So I said to him, you know why you can't wake up? It's because you are consistently waking, going to sleep too late. And since you're waking up too late, going to sleep too late, you can't wake up. It makes sense, right? Be a chacham. So I said, listen, if you don't go to sleep by a certain time, first I tried canassing him, giving him a fine. And then I tried... Then I tried giving him a pras, giving him a prize. But again, he was always hard. Because consistency is hard. And he was just consistent. I remember one time, came for Shabbos, and I went to his room. I wanted to get up for Minyan. And I went to his room, got him up out of his bed. I asked him if I wanted to do it. And he got up, and he stood up. I thought he was going to the bathroom, coming to go get dressed. He went back to bed. And then I came back during Kriyas HaTorah, and I said, what's going on? And he said, okay, I'm up. And then he didn't. He was stuck. He was consistent in a bad way. And we need to be consistent in our actions. It's hard. We have certain natures. Some of us are more emotional than others. Some of us... And it's difficult. No one's going to say it. Everyone has different challenges. But if we want greatness, it's about consistency. Little by little by little. That's what the Te'ino represents. This idea of consistency. By the Geffen, what does Geffen represent? Perhaps Geffen represents mindfulness. Anytime you go to a simcha, anytime that you go, you have Shabbos, you make Kiddush. You go to a wedding, you put the whole Sheva Brachos and the whole wedding ceremony on grapes, on wine, on grape juice. Why? Because we want to show the mindfulness. We want to make something chashiv. We want to take a certain act, just an act, and make chashivus. Again, the whole lamdish hashir, why dafka, why is a mitzvah derabbanon. But I think in a machshavadika level, it's because we want to put something chashiv to it. We want to put mindfulness to it. We want to be thinking about it. That's what it's all about, the mindfulness. So again, we have this loyalty. To show the loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we want to be consistent in our actions. The more consistent we are, the greater things will be. And then we want to put mindfulness to it. How else do we see mindfulness? So it's very fascinating. The great Arizal, the great Rav Yitzchak Luria, who lived in Sfat, The great Rabbi Yitzchak Luria from Svat in 1534 to 1572. He lived a short life. We know the great Ari, the shul in Svat, the great Ari shul. And he was buried in Svat. He was the person that went around. He knew Kabbalah and he knew everything. And he went around and told us where all the Tanaim and the Amoraim were buried. Rishon Bar Yochai, that he was the man, the Ari, the great Arizal. And the Arizal says a fascinating gematria. I don't normally quote gematria. My father loves gematria, right? He loves his doing the calculations. He's a math guy. So he quotes an amazing gematria. The gematria, the Arizal says that Moshe Rabbeinu's gematria is 345. And then if you take away Hevel, right, that story with Kayin and Hevel, that's 37. 345 minus 37. Moshe minus Hevel equals Korach, 308. What in the world does that mean? So, I think maybe Pshat is that, what's the difference between Kayin and Hevel? We know they're offering Karbanos to Hashem, the first people giving sacrifice to Hashem. And Kayin just brought anything, because he figured like this, which you hear is Lamdish of Pshat. Hashem doesn't really need anything. Hashem, he needs anything. He's Hashem. He doesn't need, so I'll give him something that I don't need. But Kayin said, Hevel, somebody talking about, when you give a present, when you give something, you wrap it nicely. Oh, it's going to be taken off quickly. It doesn't matter. It's being mindful. Thinking. That's what it's about. And Kayin killed Hevel because he realized that Hevel's carbon was taken more seriously. It was taken from Hashem. And Kayin couldn't do it. The first sibling rivalry. They killed him. Kayin killed Hevel. So what's Pshat here? So what's Pshat? So it says the great Achronim, you know what Pshat is? Is that Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest leader, if you take away minus Hevel, Hevel represents detail, being mindful, thinking about someone, making the small little things, doing the extra, being at work, and making a phone call to your wife. Although you're really busy, but 2 seconds. Someone's talking to you and you put your phone down. I remember once talking to someone. I thought it was such an important conversation. We were having a conversation back and forth. I thought it was important. And underneath, he was like doing the whole, it was a couple years ago, before like texting is rampant. I remember when Bucker told me, oh, Rebbe, I could text in my pocket. I'm like, wow, you're a Bucky. Wow, I'm jealous, right? So he was texting while talking to him. Come on, be mindful. And again, it's hard. We live in a hard world. We always have to be on, right? If you don't answer that text, the WhatsApp, it's like, oh, they got blue check. I mean, I don't have WhatsApp, but he blue checked me. Oh, he's a blue check guy. We got to be mindful. People have feelings, and the mindfulness represents the Geffen. Doing the small little things makes difference. That's what. Maybe the Arizal is saying, Moshe minus Hevel. Moshe was the man of detail. But if you got rid of it with Hevel, then it'd be a Korach. Why? What was Korach all about? Korach was all about, again, there's a lot of pshatim in Korach. But Korach was all about just big things. He didn't look into detail. He took the tzitzis that we were talking about, and he took a whole bag of tcheles, and he said, now that I have this big thing of tcheles, The big garment of blue, it needs a string. Detail. Kayak got rid of detail. He didn't care. Not only that, we know we spoke about last week, quarter of Salvechik, and we quoted the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, that Tchelis represents Emuna, belief in Hashem. But guess what? Belief in Hashem is very important. But if you don't do the mitzvos, if you don't do the actual mitzvos, then belief is good. But where are the mitzvahs? You know how many people, Bacham had told me, Rebbe, I believe, I just can't do the mitzvahs. So not only are you not being loyal to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but you're not, what are you doing? You're putting it into your court. Yeah, moon is hard. But you got to do actions. You know what actions are? Rimon, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, we know we say in Rosh Hashanah, that Rimon is mitzvah, 613 seeds. 613 mitzvot. The only thing we don't argue about. We argue about what are the mitzvahs. what classifies, but no one argues. Chavdalin Amun Aleph in Makis. Everyone believes that there are 613. But you need both of them. So Karach didn't believe in detail. That's why he just, one string. Come on, you have the whole garment. And not only that, a beautiful pshat I saw from the Shemin HaTov, that Karach said that no, as long as I have a Muna, as long as I have my Techelus, it's enough. I don't need the Tzitzis. Tzitzis represents the mitzvahs. It's the gematria of Tzitzis, 600, 8 knots. 8 strings, 5 knots. Tzitzis represents the mitzvahs. But emuna, belief in Hashem without the mitzvahs, is not enough. And that shows action. That's action. That's rimo. We know that the famous Machlokas, the Bahag, the great Bahag, he doesn't quote the mitzvah of the emuna. And the Rambam, again, we know the great Rambam, Moshe ben Maimon, Morocco. He was the man. 1135 to 1204, clearly writes. He wrote a lot of svarim. We could have a whole shiur just on the svarim he wrote. The Rambam writes that there is a mitzvah of emuna. And the Ramban also writes there's a mitzvah of emuna. But the Ramban, his whole life, was defending his Rabbeim, the great Rishonim. Right? He writes in the back of Shas called Mochamas Hashem. He was defending his Rebbe, the Rif. The Ramban, who believes that there's a mitzvah emuna, defends the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos. And the Bahag, and he says, you know why the Bahag does not quote the mitzvah emuna? Because if we have a commander, the only reason why you're going to do his commandments is to fulfill the commander, and Hashem's the commander. So why would you need a separate mitzvah emuna? I hear, it's a good svara. But again, why am I bringing this out? Because you need both. You need the emuna, and you need the mitzvahs. So I think these three areas, we want to build a relationship with all the people we have relationships with. These are the areas, loyalty. We need to be loyal to our spouses, to our children. Not having a hesech hadas. I forgot. Mekoshesh. So which one's greater? Eitz hadas, tov v'ra, or the Eitz HaChayim? So I saw Rav Nevin saw once, I once saw that he wrote, Eitz hadas, tov v'ra, it's bechira, it's choice. And we always speak about the greatness of man, and we have to make choices, and we have to put ourselves in good environments, and back and forth. But really, you know what the greatness is? Is that when a person gets consistent, and he doesn't have to make a choice, that's greater! When a person says, I'm going to learn for an hour, and I don't have to choose yes or no, and it's difficult sometimes, but this is what I do, it's a must. It's not a can I, it's a must, this is what I do. That's greater than the back and forth. Yeah, it might be a struggle and you'll get scarred, of course. But the Eitz HaChayim is a great, that's what the Mekoshesh was doing. He was, which one's greater? He says, Arnevzal, Eitz HaChayim is greater, because we're all trying to get to Elel Eitz HaChayim, the tree of life. Where, yeah, we're always going to have decisions, but we want to up the ante. We want to just go up in spirituality. Sometimes we just go through life, mediocrity, whatever, do what I do. But we need to believe in ourselves. We need to show ourselves that we can up it. We can take on more things and be consistent and make them part of our lives. Everyone can make learning, everyone, women, men. Read different books, listen to shiurim, tell yourself 20 minutes a day. Learn Hilchos Lashon Hara. Something small, but make it part of your life. Then you can just build on that. The guy that's doing his weights, right? In the beginning, 50 pounds. Bench lifting, 50. And then eventually, 50 is a joke. He just moves up. And that's what we have to view our lives in spirituality also. So again, these three concepts are so crucial. Number one, the loyalty. The loyalty to the Rabbona Shalom. The loyalty to our loved ones, to our friends. Don't have a hesech hadas. Be consistent in your actions. Number two, which is represented, the loyalty, which is represented by the te'ena, because it's consistency. And number two is the mindfulness, doing the small little things, giving people time, getting out of yourself. But being mindful, like the Geffen, that you take something chashuv and you put You put Geffen on it. All the things we do has wine in it. Mindfulness. And the last thing is responsibility. The idea of, I'm going to be doing the mitzvahs. The detail of the mitzvahs, doing the mitzvahs like a remote. And I think these three ideas that we can implement it in our lives. Loyalty, being mindful to what we're doing to ourselves and to others. And just keep on going with our mitzvahs. Again, we have struggles and we have jobs and we have so many things that are on our mind. But the more a person brings the spirituality, brings Hashem into his life, the greater his life's going to be. If a person builds himself and learns from the sins of the Karachs and the Meraglims and realizes what they're all about and how they fell, then we'll have greatness. So Bezus Hashem, Tzitzis, represents the mitzvahs. Realize that we could bring the mitzvahs, make them real in our lives, bring the Torah in our lives. Realize that we could do whatever we want. Bezus Hashem, let's just grow together. This week's Parsha, again, Parsha Shlach. In America, Karach, by us, in Eretz Yisrael. And let us just grow. Let's grow together as a nation, as an individual. Let us realize that Hashem loves us, unconditional love. And let us just keep on growing. Everyone should have an amazing Shabbos, and please be in touch. Have a great Shabbos.